Our scripture reading for today comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. If you wish to, I invite you to follow along in your pew Bibles. This is known by some circles as Jesus' inaugural address. I invite you to listen to God's word to you. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you do in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. And there was a severe famine all over the land, yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us. Amen.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible says, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child who's got his own, who's got his own. Yes, the strong get more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grade. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child who's who's got his own? Who's got his own? Money you got, lots of friends crowding round the door. When you're gone and spending ends, they don't come no more. Rich relations give crust of bread and such. You can help yourself, but don't take too much. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
I want to thank this wonderful band for playing for us today. Thank you to all, Joe and Vinny, Tim, and especially you, Dan. Great job. Thank you. They just played the wonderful song, God Bless the Child, and it was written back in 1939 by Billie Holiday. And I want to give you just a little bit of a background to that song. Holiday was bankrolling her own restaurant. She asked her mom for a small loan. Her mom was upset, didn't give her a loan. And about that incident, when they had some words between them, I guess, Holiday said, "She didn't give me a cent. She was mad at me. I was mad at her. I said, God bless the child who has his own," and walked out the door. Well, people have, though, recognized the beauty of this song because it doesn't just talk about that one incident in many ways. Underneath the song is that general thought, that underlying truth. There are just some things no one can give you. There are just things that your mama can't give you, your papa can't give you. There are just some things that you have to develop on your own. Things like courage. Things like strength of character. Things like a conviction about what is right and what is wrong. Nobody can pass any of those things on to you, really. You can't inherit them. You can't stand in line somewhere and wait for them to be given out. They can't be bought anywhere, right? No one can even say, "I'd like to share my depth of character with you, all the good values that I uphold, and I'd like to do it in a way that will really stick, in a way that they will be just as important to you as they are to me." It cannot be done. Can't. People can inspire other people. We see that all the time. People can guide and can direct and can influence. But at the end of the day, those things like courage, strength of character, truthfulness, values like standing for what is right, all of that, it's up to you, right? To take your own journey. It's up to you to stand out and find out what is it that really is inside your very soul. So as the song goes, Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child who has his own. People can say anything they want about Jesus. People have said a lot of different things about Jesus. But one of the things that is so, so clear is that that man had his, quote, God-given own, right? The evidence for not doubting this, it just comes to us so early on in Jesus' life and ministry, comes to us early on in the scripture, the gospel according to Luke. Look at how Jesus, he just puts himself out there. He stands up in the synagogue. He opens the scroll of Isaiah and he begins to speak. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Right? Release to the captives. And then he says, "This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Look now at where standing up for the hurting, the oppressed, those victimized by powers and structures and systems. Look at the where that gets him. What does it say, right? In verse 28, when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. Nerves were struck. Verse 29 says, they got up. They drove him out of town. I guess it's no surprise that the crowd was so angry, but that wasn't even enough for them to drive him out of town. You see, people are driven out of town because folks are angry at them. They want to send a message. You know, people who are driven out of town, they're done so because of safety concerns, security concerns. They can be a threat because they are stirring things up. But did you catch what I read in the last part of that verse? Did you really hear it? They felt that Jesus was such a threat that just driving him out of town wasn't enough. They felt that he was just such a threat that they needed to solve the problem right then and there. The scripture says they led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so they might hurl him off the cliff. Now we do love the end of the story. What do we have in verse 30? But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Yet that doesn't really soften the fact that he was seen as so dangerous and an attempt was made to get rid of him for good. And think about it. He could have just filed away this incident in his head. He could have just gone up to the top of a mountain, right? And said, okay, I'm going to just stay here. It's pretty safe here. I'm just going to invite people to come to me. I'm going to preach and teach. And they can come up to me to where I am. But no, he kept going and going and going to where they were, constantly risking. Really, people being offended. People being angry at him, people not liking what he was saying. But he did this, right? Why? He did this because he had his own. He had his own highly developed courage, God-given courage. He had his own way of standing for values that were right and true. He had his own strength of character. He had his own conviction. He had his own way of lifting up justice, of thinking about the needs of those who were victimized and oppressed. He did all of this because of his own. And he continued ministering and demonstrating the kingdom of God. So in many ways, we do need to say, God bless the child who has his own, his or her own deep courage, conviction, his or her own way of seeing the world, because God needs to bless that child because the world isn't going to. Not really, maybe some people, but not at large. Tomorrow, once again, we celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King. And many, many, while he was living, they didn't want to bless him. That's fact. That is fact. And even the people who were sympathetic and supported him, some of them said, no, now's not the time for civil rights. Now isn't the time to really promote everyone being treated equally, even if we do it in a nonviolent way. Now isn't the time, some folks said to him. And yet, that's when he wrote, Why We Can't Wait. He had his own, right? And let's not forget all of those people that were in the shadow of Martin Luther King, who stepped out, who stood out, who did so because they themselves wanted to express all that was in them that was so important, their deep values that they held, values of what was right and what was God-given. And one of my favorite examples is actually Clarence Jordan. And why I like the story of Clarence Jordan is he was a white farmer. White farmer in Georgia. He and Martin Luther King admired each other. They didn't agree on everything. In fact, they disagreed on some important things. But at the end of the day, they converged in what they felt was so important. Each one, Martin Luther King, Clarence Jordan, they had their own inside of them, and they were able to come together. So Clarence Jordan's farm was in America's Georgia. And one of the things he did was he paid everybody the same. The white folks that worked on the farm and the black folks that worked on the farm. This was considered radical. Can you believe it? Radical for that time. But he had to stand up for what he felt. And there's this wonderful story of how a reporter from the America's Georgia newspaper came to him, and he wanted to do a story. And he wanted to do a story about Jordan's feelings about integration. Clarence Jordan said, I don't believe in integration. Wait a minute. He said to the reporter, we never have believed in integration from the beginning. All we have ever said is that there's no white or black in God's household. The reporter replied, well, good God Almighty, isn't that integration? No, sir, Jordan said, that's the nature of God. So what is your own, right? What is your own? What are your own convictions? What matters to you? What has developed inside of yourself? You heard today about Jesus. Many of us admire Martin Luther King. Where does your own lead you? Convictions and values, they matter. They matter even when, and especially when it's hard to hold on to them, when there are so many opposing thoughts and ways and barriers out there. And it matters where they come from. It matters where they come from. I'm reminded here of Abraham Lincoln. He was asked if he believed that God was on the side of the Union. He said to the person that asked the question, Sir, My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right. May God bless the hearing and the interpretation of God's word to us today. Let us pray. Oh God, stir up inside of us an awareness of what is our own. What is inside of us that leads us to be who we are, to act in ways that you call us to act. May we know that your love propels us. You call us not to be perfect people, but you call us to perfect our love. Be with us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.